This is InvestTalk, independent thinking, shared success. Justin Klein and Steve Peasley stand ready to take your finance and investment questions and share their unbiased answers. InvestTalk is made possible by KPP Financial, a registered investment advisor firm serving clients throughout the United States. The clarity for your path forward starts now. Here is KPP Chief Executive Officer, Financial Advisor, Justin Klein.
Good afternoon, fellow investors, and welcome back to InvestTalk. This is our Wednesday, November 30th, 2022 edition. And yep, you made it to the end of the 11th month of the year. And that means tomorrow when you wake up, it's going to be December. And even some parts of the world, in Europe and further east, it is already December. And that means the year is moving by pretty fast and Christmas is coming up. But what I want to start off today with is a quick line that is common, but I don't think common enough in today's world. It is an old saying, and it is basically, there are no gurus, only cycles. Let me repeat that. There are no gurus, only cycles. And you can think of the most recent gurus and their recent downfalls. Kathy Wood and the ARK funds, Sam Bankman-Fried, and the myth that he was the JP Morgan of the crypto universe. No, he was just one of probably very many frauds that are out there within the crypto space because it's unregulated, kind of say, do whatever you want. And what happens here is that people are attracted to the big stories, the big returns, and they herald these people as some sort of geniuses that are far superior to regular ordinary people. But in reality, they're just human. And oftentimes, their biggest flaw, for a short period of time at least, becomes their biggest strength. And that is concentrated bets. And then having the right timing. You know, Kathy Wood was just a whatever portfolio manager for a long time. And she hit one year, where she did fabulously well because she was so concentrated in quote unquote disruptive tech. But this is not a new story. This story goes back decades and decades, not hundreds of years. Now, I won't go back that far and give you another example. This was the late 90s, 97. And there was an investor named Garrett Van Wagoner. And he was heralded as a stock genius, stock picking genius. In a couple strong years, he got chronicled on Frontline in January of 97. And he had a great run between that time and the peak in 2000 of the tech bubble. And if you invest in January of 99, your $10,000 turned into about $45,000 in just a span of a few years, 66% annualized over those 3 years. The problem is that over the next several years, the internet bubble popped, the NASDAQ fell 78%, and Van Wagoner didn't do very well. He couldn't pivot. His concentration, once again, turned into his biggest weakness. And so for investors, there was a staggering 63% loss of investor capital, annualized return of negative 7.8% per year since inception. So it just shows you that anybody can get hot at any time. And frankly, if you have such outlandish returns over a short period of time, the odds are extremely high that you were more lucky than good. And so the lesson here is really, don't chase the outliers. Don't chase the headlines. You should chase consistency. Consistency. This is not a get-rich-quick endeavor. Despite what you saw in 2020 and 2021. Okay? So this is a lesson you need to learn. And so many people, I know we have a lot of listeners that kind of came on during the COVID crisis, found us during the COVID crisis. And I said this last week, that sometimes they take us for granted, the lessons that I've learned for 20 plus years doing this, 25 years, really, I've been involved with markets. And luckily, I had my grandfather to mentor me and taught me a lot of lessons that he learned in the 50 years in markets before then. Right? So I like to think I have, you know, combined experience just learning from all of that. But a lot of people don't. You know, it's human nature to express fear and greed. And greed is often the emotion that many people have felt over the past couple of years. This year, a little more fear. But it's about consistency. It's about controlling those emotions, okay? Now, I'm Justin Klein, and I'm here to help you develop that mindset so you're not chasing the outliers, you're not expressing those emotions in your decision-making process, so that you are making good, sound decisions on a consistent basis. So the phone lines are open, ready for your call, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at 888-99-CHART. You can call live during our 4 to 5 Pacific time, live stream as well, and talk to me. I love that. I've got a lot of material to discuss with you today. One is my main focus point, which is 4 practical steps to control your overspending habits. And I know this is Invest Talk. Talk a lot about investing, but investing is only one part of your financial journey. Saving and spending correctly, efficiently, effectively are also a huge part. It's not sexy, it's not fun, but it's necessary. So we're going to look at that story. Also, does inequality drive stock market performance and multiples? We're going to look at that. Also, Black Friday weekend. We just got done with that. You know, Cyber Monday, just a couple days ago. Were consumer spending? We're going to touch on what the trade groups are saying there. And then lastly, how COVID controls in China are hitting factory production over there. I also have some voice bank questions to play as well. One is on big bank bonds as well as Global Net Lease Inc. So I got this all planned for this episode of Invest Talk, and of course your live calls as well at 888-99-CHART. Let's take a quick look at the markets today. It was a very bullish day on a relatively dovish Fed or Jerome Powell speech, basically saying, yeah, we're going to slow our pace of our, or not the pace, slow the degree of our rate hikes starting in December. And now there's a very high likelihood that there'll be a 50 basis point increase in December. You also had the ADP jobs number that came out that was much weaker than expected. That maybe is a harbinger for what you're going to see on Friday. And I do think that that we're going to see a pretty weak jobs report. And in this environment, you know, the Fed, the markets want to see the Fed become more dovish. And today, you definitely got a couple of data points, both in a speech and economic data, that says a more dovish Fed is in the offing. Now we're heading into a break. I welcome your finance and investment questions now, and no question is too simple or too complex. You set the agenda. So give InvestTalk a call at 888-99-CHART.
In today's world, a variety of factors are affecting the stock markets. Serious investors know building a secure financial future requires hard work and determination. That's why now, more than ever, when it comes to the planning, execution, and maintenance of your portfolio, you need InvestTalk. With total downloads nearing 50 million, each InvestTalk podcast should be one of your key financial planning and educational tools. InvestTalk is a free download, and hosts Justin Klein and Steve Peasley stand ready to provide their unbiased guidance and professional analysis developed from real-time data research and years of investing experience. 24/7, rain or shine, during smooth sailing or on rough weather days, the InvestTalk listener line is open and waiting for your questions. You set the agenda. Don't forget to call InvestTalk 888-99-CHART.
Each day, InvestTalk listeners submit their finance and investment questions via phone or email. Would you like your question to be put near the top of the list? Just take a minute or two to leave a review and rating for InvestTalk at iTunes. And be sure to include a brief question with your iTunes review comments.
Hello, Steve and Justin. This is John from Salt Lake City, Utah. On Friday, on your best of calls, you guys mentioned high-grade corporate bonds. I was wondering where I could find some, where they're offering that 7.9% or something similar. I've been going on trying to find the actual bonds, but I was finding more funds than I was bonds. If you could give us a few suggestions on where to get or which ones are good high-grade corporate bonds, I'd appreciate it. Look forward to hearing your answer. Thanks.
Now, I can't tell you what corporate bonds to buy. That's something I can only do for clients. Can't do that on air. But what I can say is your broker should have a bond desk. We use TD Ameritrade. They have a bond desk. Schwab has a bond desk. Fidelity has a bond desk. All the big brokers have a bond desk that you can go and buy bonds directly through. Now, that's one way. They will charge a spread. They're going to make some money. They're going to basically take a cut and they're going to earn a little bit on that. Unfortunately, for the retail investor, it can be relatively hefty. It just depends on the bond, depends on the broker that you're using. Now, we use a company called Market Access. They're actually a public company, and we aggregate our bond purchases with other institutions, because we are an institution and we get much better pricing than you're going to get from your bond desk at your broker. But you can do that. You just have to call them up, and they should have a tool. I know TD Ameritrade has a tool where you can search based on credit quality, based on duration, based on yield to maturity, yield to worst, etc. You can even filter by sector, what sectors you want to have exposure to. But you're going to have to do a little work, right? These are corporations. You need to be confident they're going to be able to stay solvent, stay in business between now and the time the bond matures. And so otherwise you're going to deal with defaults, and that's never fun. So it does take a little work. Typically you can get much better yields. We are still seeing north of 7, although those yields have come down a bit. But there's still some good opportunities in that space, but you got to do a little work. If you don't want to do a little work, then bond funds are okay. Go to Kimberly and or Orinda, California, looking at KRTX.
KRTX, yes. It's a biotech, and I was just wondering your opinion about this before I maybe buy some.
Okay, it's a biotech. It recently jumped up, it looks like. When was this? In August. Do you know why it jumped up so dramatically?
I think they were okayed for a schizophrenia drug to go to a next step.
Got it. Okay.
Yeah.
So, you know, I always say biotechs are kind of like lottery tickets. You know, this is a name that just is burning capital. It's losing money. This is all about the hopes and dreams of that they're going to get through their phase 3 trial. It's not going to have any hiccups or problems. And then suddenly its drug has huge potential. Now, it's already an $8 billion market cap. It's not just about getting it through, but it's also what's the addressable market for this drug? How effective is it? Is it good for all schizophrenia patients? How many schizophrenia patients are there? How much can they charge? Is it going to be covered by Medicare? There's a lot of complexities to know whether or not this is that it's going to be hugely beneficial to the company, even if they get through it. So typically these are poor investments, unless you really understand the drug, understand the potential. It takes a lot of deep dive research to hit these correctly, especially ones that are already up so much. You know, there's a lot of that optimism priced in. The technicals are fine. It's been holding those levels since it did jump up. And so I would be fine with it, but you have to be very small in your exposure and you need to be comfortable with the risk. Thanks for the call. Now we're heading into a break, so give me a call at 888-99-CHART.
One of the most rewarding things I do each weekday is host the Invest Talk podcast. I truly enjoy helping investors, and I know that every question counts and every answer I provide will be unbiased. You, the caller, get to chart the course for each Invest Talk podcast. Call with your questions anytime, day or night, 888-99-CHART.
Go to Kevin in Northern California looking at Triton International Limited.
Hi, how's it going?
It's going well.
Yeah, I've been buying the stock maybe about a little over a year and a half ago, and I'm maybe up about 20% right now. And I'm wondering if I should consider selling as it's near all-time highs. I'm a little worried that revenue and earnings per share expectations are flattening, and if they're maybe over-earning right now. I'm also a little worried about their current debt levels.
All good worries. There's a lot of companies that did very, very well during the pandemic, and now their earnings are mean reverting. Now, so far, that has not been the case for Triton, even though earnings are expected to drop 8% next year to $10.36, but that's still well above its pre-pandemic levels of earnings of $4.57. Now, this is in the industrial space. It's operative lesser of intermodal containers. So it leases chassis, which are used for the transportation of containers. So it's in kind of the shipping industry in general. I know there's been a shortage of containers and the whole supply chain being gunked up because of shutdowns in China, because of various rules. Finding new places for production has stranded a lot of containers, things like that. So the containers in general are in higher demand. So is it over earning? Probably. It's yielding 4.1%. It looks like it can pay that. I am a bit worried about that debt. You are correct. Let me see. Is it going up or is it going down? Okay, it's been going down recently, so they've been paying down a little bit of it. Well, the shares outstanding, that has been going down. They've been buying back shares, so I like that. But yeah, if their business goes south, obviously that debt can be a worry. What I would probably do here is, because the technicals are fine, the fundamentals look fine, it's not expensive, especially if it's going to earn $10 plus per share next year, and it's trading at $67, I would be having a stop on it. And you could use something like, I would probably use the 100-day moving average as my stop on this name. So right now it's well above it, 100 days down at about $60, it's at $67 now. That's what I would use because technicals are good, it looks relatively strong. I have no major issues with it in the near term. So just keep a stop on it. Thanks for the call. Now, my focus point concerns this headline, four practical steps to control your overspending habits. And for some, money can represent freedom, opportunity, security, or peace of mind. And different people have different responses to how they've grown up, what environment that they were in. Some people grow up in households that have a lot of money, and they're still very motivated. My girlfriend's a good example. She's a high achieving doctor, And her father was a dentist and kind of gave her whatever she wanted, but she still was competitive and high achieving, and she handled it well. You know, I know plenty of people that are in the opposite situation where their reaction is the opposite, meaning they grow up in a household with a lot of money and, you know, they kind of don't have that competitive fire. They don't look at money the same way, and they don't achieve what they really want to, because they just don't have that. And they kind of get lulled into that comfortness of, or comfortability of just having money and the family having money. So everybody's relationship with money and spending is just a bit different. But most of us have some sort of overspending problem, whether that's habitually or it's on occasion. And this can hinder your longer term goals, whether you come from money or not. Now, the first step to dealing with this is to admit you have a problem and stop justifying it. A lot of people say, I deserve it, right? And just like any problem, the hardest step is honest reflection. Now, some people have the urge to spend when they don't feel good about themselves. And going out there, buying that thing, buying that extra coffee, you know, and spending $7, $8, $9, $10 on a coffee makes them feel good, even though they don't really need it. It's 3 p.m. Do you really need a coffee? No. So it's just being, having good self-awareness is number one. The number two is to identify what your needs are. And there's a universal, there are universal needs, and there are 6 of them. One is survival, security, love and belonging, esteem, and meaning. And the real trick is to find affordable ways to fulfill those needs. Okay? And so think about the needs that you will forgo if you overspend. Instead of saying, oh, I need that new outfit, say things like, I just need to feel more confident. Okay? And these are ways to turn the attention and brainstorm new ideas, which is step 3. And after the break, I'll get to step 3 and 4. We're going into a break, so give me a call at 888-99-CHART.
Let's say you've been thinking about learning a new language. Okay. Why? I mean, how would it come in handy? And where would you want to use it? Could it be that you have an upcoming international trip? Or maybe you want to connect with family members or friends from a different culture? I think you should know about Rosetta Stone. With millions of users, it's been the world's most trusted language learning program for 30 years. Rosetta Stone is available on your desktop or as an app with audio companion and the ability to download lessons offline. Rosetta Stone truly immerses you in the language you want to learn. It has a built-in, patented speech recognition engine called True Accent. So as you practice speaking, you'll get feedback on how well you pronounce words. With Rosetta Stone, you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. It's an intuitive process designed for long-term retention. You really learn to speak, listen, and think in your new language. Rosetta Stone is an amazing value, so your special skill set is within easy reach. You know you want to do this, so don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, InvestTalk listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/today. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off now at rosettastone.com/today.
InvestTalk is here to help. And when you download the free InvestTalk podcasts, don't forget to rate and review. The phone lines are open, 888-99-CHART.
Now, before the break, I touched on the first two steps to attacking your overspending habits. One is to admit you have a problem. Two is to identify those needs and find ways to address those needs in without going over budget. So there's often different ways to attack whatever need you're trying to accomplish. So once again, survival, security, love and belonging, esteem and meaning. Those are basically the five needs that all spending relates to. So you should probably brainstorm some new ideas and new strategies. And you can find things that can even eliminate or reduce your spending overall. So for example, you buy a new outfit, but maybe from the clearance rack. Instead of buying an expensive gift that probably will be forgotten, maybe take a little time, go to Michael's and browse the aisles, and maybe it'll spark the idea to make a gift that will be treasured longer than something that's just expensive. And then resisting peer pressure. I know a lot of people when they're younger, they buy into the peer pressure. And frankly, most of the time when you're, I've learned this throughout the years, most of the time when you're overspending in a social situation, it's not around the people that are really great long time friends. They're more acquaintances. And you don't really want to be breaking your budget, breaking your bank account for just acquaintances. So one good way to do this is to brainstorm beforehand, knowing that you're going to go into a situation, knowing that maybe in the future you're going to be in a situation, you're not going to feel good about yourself, you're going to be in a certain social situation, and this is how you are going to handle it. Maybe write down those strategies. Okay. And then lastly, don't feel bad. Everybody overspends from time to time, some more often than others. But make changes that you can be proud of and tell yourself. Reinforce that behavior when you do. And take it day by day. You know, just like everything, if you look at trying to accomplish something as something that's going to take months or years, it's a big endeavor. But when you bite it off one bit at a time, just making good decisions day after day, over an extended period of time, suddenly you can accomplish a lot. And that goes with spending habits as well. Now let's keep things moving and swing back to the InvestTalk Voice Bank. And this question came in earlier from South Carolina.
Hi, Steve and Justin. This is Bryce calling from South Carolina. I was just looking at a portion of my portfolio targeting dividends and cash flow. I was wondering if you could look at Global Net Lease, GNL. I noticed that it has Series A and Series B preferred shares. So I was wondering if you could clarify the difference between what exactly preferred shares are and what the expected difference in return or price might be on those. Thank you so much. I look forward to hearing from you on the show.
All right. Now, a preferred share is kind of a hybrid asset. Or it's not really equity, but it's not really a bond either. Basically, it is a... I would say it's closer to a bond because you don't get the upside of the positive trends of a business. It's issued at par. Typically, the a bond is issued at $100 at par, which it prefers usually $25 per par. And it paying some sort of a dividend to you, kind of like an interest rate. And it's typically fixed and... there's often no maturity date, meaning there's not like a bond where it gets paid back to you. Typically, let me go back. It's part of the capital structure. So let's say they go bankrupt. You're not a bondholder, so you're not paid first. Now you're paid ahead of the equity holder, so they're paid last because you're preferred equity. But usually the bondholders, they get most of the assets, if not all. So you don't get the upside like equity holders, and you don't get the protection on the downside like bondholders. I don't really like them. I don't like preferred shares. They're not, you know, you can hold a little bit, that's fine. But in general, they're just not great investment vehicles. So I would pass on that. Now, you're looking at Global Net Lease, GNL, and this is a REIT. You're looking at 11.8% dividend yield. Problem here is that it is globally diversified. That's good, except for the fact that the vast majority of their assets outside the country are in Europe. And Europe's obviously having some economic issues. It has office properties, industrial properties, distribution, retail, and others. Office buildings represent more than half of the properties. And that's the issue here, is that it's completely tied, or not completely, but mostly tied to the office market. And office market is struggling and probably will struggle for a long period of time. It does have a good amount of debt in its balance sheet. I don't expect that payout ratio to stay this high. Right now it's 855%. Based on cash flow, it's 109%. Let's see, are they issuing more debt? That's slowed down, so that's a positive. Are they issuing more shares? They have since the start of the pandemic. So that's a bit of a worry. You know, I just don't like it. I know you're chasing that yield. They have decent cash flow right now, but that looks to be struggling, and the market is pricing in a much tougher rental market. Cash flow from operations has gone from $241 million as of June all the way down to $194 million as of September. That's trailing 12 months. So there's a big drop off in last quarter in cash from operations. So I would not be buying GNL, Global Net Lease. Thanks for the call. Now let's touch a bit on inequality. Now, does inequality drive stock price valuations? And there's some studies by some big academics that say that's pretty much the case. And it's easy to see why. Because the rich save about 20 times more in stocks than lower income people do. So for example, if you took one person that was earning $1 million, they're going to put a certain percentage into stocks because they have a lot of money left over to invest from their day to day. But if you take 20 people and they're making $50,000 each, well, vast majority of that money is going towards day-to-day life. Very little is left over to invest in stocks. And so there's that simple concept that, hey, if you have a lot of millionaires and billionaires, they're probably putting their money in stocks. And so that means prices go up. So it helps to explain why there's been an upward trend in valuation over the past 40 years. Now, part of it is interest rates going down. Certainly part of it. But inequality has soared over that time. Now, there are more millionaires and billionaires. Part of that is monopoly power in some industries. So they pay their employees and top executives very well. And so there's a lot of reason for that. And there's a rising willingness of pension fund managers to invest in stocks. Now, that's one argument. It's easier for individuals to buy individual stocks because of lower fees, popularity of ETFs and mutual funds. So that's one argument. But longer term, if you look at the ratio of household equity wealth to demand-weighted income, it's near the highest level since the 60s. And so that's why if you look at like the CAPE ratio, the multiples the market trades at, it hasn't really come down because inequality hasn't come down. And inequality has gone through long trends, goes through long trends of rising and falling. The Roaring 20s was the high. So that's why you have those high multiples in the stock market. But it declined really through 1980. And then it's been rising since. And so while you like to think that risk appetite, earnings are going to drive valuations, while they do in the long term, in the short to medium term, a lot depends on fear and greed and the willingness or ability to invest in stocks. Now, there's some major trends that are shifting that could potentially drive profit margins down and bring wealth inequality more in line. One is deglobalization and the push towards more industrial policy. Think of the CHIPS Act recently. And this means that more, and during the pandemic, post-pandemic, low-skill workers have actually done better than graduate workers for the first time in 25 years. So there's a lot of trends that are saying inequality is likely to reverse. Now, it's not going to do it over 1 year or 2 years. It's probably going to take 2-3 decades. But that also means lower valuations, lower multiples. Okay. And so that's what you should, another reason why, you know, you have to focus on value stocks, because those are the ones that are going to have the lowest headwinds from multiples coming down. Okay. Now we're moving at a steady pace towards the end of the year. Only about 4.5 weeks remain in 2022. And so you have to start thinking about the future, 2023, and your financial future. And the big question is, are you ready? Do you have updated strategies to deal with this changing market environment that we've been talking about? Well, if you need help understanding where you are, I encourage you to reach out to myself or Steve Peasley at our company, KPP Financial, where we practice unbiased guidance and parallel investing, which means you invest right alongside our clients. So I encourage you to reach out for a free portfolio review assessment via telephone or GoToMeeting, to send us a message through the all-new investtalk.com or call our office at 800-557-5461. Love to help you in any way. The sooner you reach out, the sooner we can help get your portfolio optimized. Now, this is Invest Talk. Coming up next, we'll play another caller question. So hang on.
The Invest Talk Voice Bank never closes.
I have a question for you about Amazon.
So your questions keep coming.
I have a question about PE ratios.
And that's okay, because Steve Peasley and Justin Klein specialize in unbiased guidance.
If I'm looking at a dividend company, I'm looking for consistency of earnings and dividends.
Your standard daily chart typically goes back 1 year.
Steve and Justin are fearless, so don't forget to call Invest Talk. 888-99-CHART.
Hi, guys. This is Kent in Texas. Hey, guys, on TD Ameritrade's website, they have a tab for bonds and CDs. And under that tab, they have new issues. So you can buy bonds at par. Nearly all their offerings are the big major banks like Citigroup, Chase, Wells Fargo, Morgan Stanley. Do y'all have a problem, or how do you look at holding mainly those bonds in your bond portfolio? All right, my friends, thanks a lot. Bye-bye.
Well, we have no real issue with those companies in general. Most of them have huge cash buffers because of post-financial crisis regulation, a lot of excess reserves in their balance sheet. So it's unlikely you're going to have some sort of 08 credit crisis because of, you know, terrible lending of the big banks. I think most of the egregious lending has happened in the private equity space. And could there be some spillover in some of those big banks? Sure. But we don't see them at risk of being insolvent. But that's kind of reflected in their yields. Their yields to maturity is not that great compared to a lot of the offerings that you can get in industrial space, energy space, commodity space, et cetera. Just better opportunities in other areas of the economy. But I have no issues with them. You know, if I'm going to pick one of the big banks, it's definitely going to be JP Morgan. They have the largest deposit base. They are probably the best run. They don't make bad lending errors or nearly as bad as some of the other ones, like Citi. Citi would probably be the lowest on the list of one of those big banks that I'd want to own a bond on. But overall, it's just, everything's about risk versus reward. You really have to look at everything as risk versus reward. That's what investing is. And so it's not just about the yield you're getting, but what type of risks are you taking? Solvency risk, duration risk, etc. So they're fine. Having a couple of them as a part of a diversified portfolio, sure. But not something I would go heavily in on because I don't love the risk versus reward. Now, next, InvestTalk, the story behind this headline. Be sure to avoid mistakes with required minimum distributions for retirement accounts. You've got about a month left to make sure you get it right when it comes to mandatory withdrawals from your retirement accounts. And we're going to get that to that story tomorrow. But for now, I'm Justin Klein. I'm ready to take your question live at 888-99-CHART.
The stock market is volatile. It's constantly changing. So how are you positioned? Is your portfolio properly balanced, or are you taking unnecessary risks? You can get guidance anytime for free if you go to investtalk.com and take the brief Riskalyze quiz.
Yes, this is Donald. I'm from Pennsylvania. I was looking at a stock, Commercial Vehicle Group. The ticker is CVGI. Seems to be in a downtrend. It's in industrial space. And I was wondering if you might take a look at it, look at the debt, and what might be a decent price for it. Give me your thoughts. I appreciate your insights, and thank you very much for your time. Bye.
All right, this is Commercial Vehicle Group, and they make solutions and components for the commercial vehicle market. And my issue with this is not only are earnings and sales slowing, last three quarters you have earnings negative pretty dramatically year over year. Doesn't pay a dividend. But it's the long-term profitability metrics. Return assets right now is only 3% and historically is kind of averaged around 2%, kind of around the flat line. It's never really been a big earner. Return on equity, 13% currently, long-term average, about 9%. Just kind of okay. Has a decent amount of debt on its balance sheet, so that worries me a bit, and that's been going up over the past year or so. And the shares outstanding also continues to kind of trend higher. So there's nothing about this name that gets me excited. So I would move on, find a better name. I know it's in the industrial space, but in general, I want something that has more that is more consistently profitable and has positive cash flow. Right now, that cash flow is negative. Thanks for the call. Now, lastly, let's check in on the holiday shopping season, or at least the kickoff of the holiday shopping season. Now, about 193 million Americans visited stores or shopped online between Thanksgiving Day and Cyber Monday. That's according to the National Retail Federation. Now, the number of shoppers choosing physical stores was up 17% year over year. Online shoppers, only about 2%. So as the pandemic has continued to ebb, more people are showing up to stores. And this is much better than what the group had forecast, the National Retail Federation. They were forecasting only 166 million people over that period were going to be out there shopping. Now, early data shows that they didn't buy more items than last year during those visits, but spent by dollar amount rose. Why? Because of higher prices. And retail sales between Thanksgiving and this past Sunday rose 10.9% from a year earlier. Inflation is, you know, call it 8%-ish. Now, Cyber Monday continues to run as the biggest day for online spending. That rose 5.8%. Once again, that's actually, in real terms, negative. I spent more on toys, computers, appliances, apparel. They had all had a lot of deep discounts. So there's a lot of spending there. Top sellers were Pokemon cards, Legos, Hot Wheels, Apple MacBooks, AirPods. smart TVs, and air fryers. Now, based on surveys, people are roughly half done with their shopping. So about half of the holiday spending has been done. Now, the average shopper spent $325 on holiday purchases over the weekend. That's up 8% from 2021. Once again, on an inflation-adjusted basis, it's roughly flat, which kind of reflects where we are in the economy. We're kind of in a stall-speed economy. Now, online spending grew at a slower pace over Black Friday weekend compared to last year because more people visited brick-and-mortar stores. Online sales on Black Friday rose 2.3% to a little over $9 billion. Once again, negative in real terms. And on Thanksgiving, people spent $5.3 billion. That's up 2.9% from the same time last year. So, not a terrible Black Friday weekend or Cyber Monday. Let's call it the kickoff to the holiday shopping season, but not necessarily gangbusters either. I'm Justin Klein. This completes another InvestTalk program. Steve Peasley and I thank you for listening, and we encourage you to tell your friends and family about our free podcast downloads, which you can get anytime at iTunes, Spotify, or Google Play, and be sure to rate and review. Independent thinking, shared success. This is InvestTalk. Good night.
InvestTalk is a trademark of KPP Financial. Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for the listener to understand that not all comments made will apply to them. Specifically, nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell security. Because such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor firm which retains all rights. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-557-5461. Steve Peasley is president, and Justin Klein is chief executive officer of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial. Thank you for listening, and your comments and questions are welcome on our 24-hour listener line at 888-99-CHART.